Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, attention international travelers, Venice is set to expand their summer tourism tax next year. And where did Sacramento land on the list of most fun cities? Details next in the news.
In Europe, when an airline blows up your trip with a seriously delayed or canceled flight, they have to pay the inconvenienced travelers. Now, the Biden administration is suggesting the same should happen in the U.S. The airlines are against it, of course. No surprise there. More details in our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:20.
What if you had two or three small children and wanted to travel the planet? That's exactly what Jessica G. and her husband did. Then she wrote a book, Tips for Traveling with the Kiddos, and some great stories, coming at you at 11:35.
And odds and ends at 11:50 include pineapple dating and check-in chicken. Updates for you on both, along with a list of Christmas gifts for the travelers in your life.
Here to make you a smarter traveler, even during the busy holiday season in our 17th year, we are the Travel Guys.
On the road again.
I've been everywhere, man.
To Vega.
To Seattle.
Get your kicks on Route 66.
Let's go on with the show.
Hey there, my friends. It's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for coming along. Don't forget, links to our special guests and more can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. Well, it's been kind of a busy week, pretty exciting over the last few days with the earthquake in Northern California along the coast there and the almost tsunami thing.
Yeah, dodged a bullet there. I'm out on the road traveling and I hear this thing come over the television that says there's a tsunami warning for Northern California, particularly for the San Francisco Bay Area. And, you know, of course, those are not things that you can predict. I remember the earthquake in, was 89? Is that when the earthquake was? 89? Yeah, that was the Giants and A's were playing in the World Series at Candlestick Park, if you remember that venue back many years ago. So, yeah, no, that was they dodged a bullet. Did you see the explanation of that? The reason that it didn't cause a tsunami was because usually earthquakes cause the ocean floor to move up and down, but in this case, it moved sideways. So it was more of a gentle, I don't know, but I'm not a scientist, but that's what I read. So, congratulations to all those folks on the coast who were spared whatever they were spared.
Yeah, you know, we signed up with a National Earthquake Alert System, whatever, to get a notice, and literally we got a notice that said, "Duck, cover, and hold on." So you know, they're trying to push these out to in fact, provide some safety, some opportunities to be safe by being slightly ahead of the earthquake. So it was fascinating to get that on my phone. We knew about it like that before I ever heard it on Medium. All right, I guess we should get started here. Wanted to talk about a special day today. A lot of people, this could kind of slip right past you if you weren't paying attention, huh, Mark?
Yeah, if you're under the age of 40 or so, you might not know necessarily that today is Pearl Harbor Day, the 7th of December, which is the anniversary of the surprise attack by the Japanese on American forces at Pearl Harbor in Honolulu, Hawaii, in 1941, which really was one of the big moments that led to World War II. But anyway, most of those folks are gone now. I remember when I first went into the tour business 45 years ago, one of the top three destinations that came up all the time was Hawaii, and you did not go to Hawaii without going to Oahu and going to Pearl Harbor. I mean, that had to be part of your itinerary no matter what, because people wouldn't go there unless they had the opportunity to do that and go out on the launch. And, of course, you can still do it today. You can still go to Pearl Harbor and commemorate the battle, but it really wasn't much of a battle. It was more of a massacre. But anyways, Pearl Harbor Day today. So honoring all of those who fought for our country in World War II or Korea or Vietnam or anybody who serves today, thank you for your service.
Absolutely. You know, That's kind of sad to say. My father-in-law lived on the Big Island back in the 70s, and we used to go visit him all the time. And all we did was just kind of go through Oahu to the Big Island. And I was never really, except for maybe wanting to go to Pearl Harbor, was much impressed with Oahu as a destination, just big hotels and just not quite the same as the Big Island. So. Yep. I gotta make a trip and get that done. All right. With that being said, at the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we spend some time bringing you up to date on the travel news. And with today's edition, once again, Mark Hoffman.
Amtrak says they have set a ridership record. Then their fiscal year ends at the end of September. So for the 12 months ending at the end of September, they handled 32.8 million passengers. It is the most people ever to ride Amtrak in a year. And here's the deal. Amtrak says that number is going to double by 2040. So they have some plans for expansion, more people riding the train. Pete Buttigieg, who is about to finish a four-year term as outgoing as transportation secretary, said he... I'll leave it to others to grade my performance, but we've been able to deliver the most transformative set of infrastructure investments in my lifetime. That's true about the infrastructure. It's also true that they've finally come up with some pretty good consumer rules, but they've come so late in the game, and the fact that we're about to change teams in Washington, D.C. may mean that some of these things that they came up with at the last minute may or may not go through. We're going to talk about another one of those ideas in our Smarter Traveler segment a little bit later on in the program. Travel Trends says that travel is the ultimate test for relationships. If you're thinking about marrying somebody, that you should go on a trip with them first. I've heard this more than once. It says that it's the ultimate relationship test, giving you the opportunity to evaluate compatibility through factors like spending habits, hygiene, food preferences, when you get up in the morning, etc. That travel will reveal more about a person than just about any other single action. I found that to be kind of interesting. And you know, when you stop and think about it, the types of things that you do when you're on a trip and stuff would give you a fairly good look into what someone's personality might be and what their habits might be and things of that sort.
Well, Venice, you know, a lot of folks felt that, well, let's just move in together. We'll get to know each other and find out how things, you know, cohabitate and decide whether we're a good fit or not. You could just skip all of that and just go on a vacation.
Yeah. And then if it didn't work out, well, you wouldn't have to move your stuff again.
There you go.
Venice has had a tourism tax for the last couple of years, and they are going to expand that for next summer. There are some exceptions. The tax is not a tremendous amount of money. It's about €5, which is basically today about $5.10. So it's not a tremendous amount of money, but it does. What they're trying to do is limit not only the number of people, but also to create a pool of dollars to clean up after people and to fix the things they break when they leave. I mean, Venice is an old city, and so this way you are creating a pool that helps them deal with a tremendous number of visitors. It's going from 29 days this year to 54 days next year. It's basically on the weekends during high season and for holiday periods and stuff like that. So I don't think $5 is going to keep anybody from going into Venice, but at least it puts some measure of control. You buy a ticket in advance and show it as you're entering into the main part of the city. Here's kind of an interesting little story. Most fun cities in America, our friends at Wallet Hub, who do these little surveys, they have decided what the best cities in funnest cities in America are. They base this on the indoor and outdoor activities available for all interests, from theaters to sports to arcades, diversity in restaurants. And also has a little bit to do with the weather. So anyway, they came up with the five most fun cities. This won't surprise you, Mr. Romano, Mr. Disney and Las Vegas fan. Las Vegas is one. Orlando is two. Miami is three. Atlanta is four. And New Orleans is five. Interestingly enough, four of those five are southern cities. Recreation and entertainment, nightlife and parties,
things of that sort. So where did Sacramento come in on this list? By the way, San Francisco is the highest California city, ranked at number 7, whereas Los Angeles number 18, San Diego number 21. Sacramento, this was kind of surprising to me, 33 on a list of 160-some-odd cities across the country. Our recreation rank was 30. Our party availability rank, which has to do with bars and entertainment venues and stuff like that, was 25. Our cost rank was 140. Ouch. All of the California cities are ranked up much more expensive.
Well, Sacramento, here again, Sacramento proper is one thing, but our proximity to mass partying, Lake Tahoe, San Francisco, and then again, we are the farm-to-fork eatery city for sure.
Most festivals per capita, any city in the country, Honolulu, Tampa, San Francisco, New Orleans, and Miami. So that's another thing that they used for ranking. You know, how many times a year do you have cultural festivals and things of that sort? So kind of interesting. Air Canada is in the news. They are expanding their passenger service into the United States. They're going to have, for 2025, they're going to have over 200 daily flights into the United States now, which is the most that they have ever done. Also, Air Canada is making some changes, and we have Air Canada flights, for those of you who might not know, in Sacramento, twice a day in the summer to Vancouver, and once a day to Toronto. In the winter, that scales back to just one Vancouver flight. But so three flights a day in the summertime. Maybe there will be more at some point. There's been talk of a Calgary flight from Sacramento at least a couple of days a week. Air Canada is changing their rules about carry-ons. So this is probably something that U.S. Airlines might take a look at some point. But Air Canada is basically saying that you are no longer going to be able to include a full-size bag. So you can, you know how if you watch airlines, people's idea of what a carry-on bag and what will go in the overhead has increased over the years from, you know, a regular carry-on to a steamer trunk. And so what Air Canada is basically saying is we're going to crack down on that. And we're not going to let you bring things onto the plane. And that's important because the Vancouver flights are on smaller aircraft, E-175 aircraft that hold about 90 passengers. So they don't have as much overhead space. But just know that, and if you are traveling with Air Canada and you're buying one of their basic fares, their cheapest fare, they're really going to make the carry-on. The carry-on rules are really changing and really becoming more restrictive. What's happening is Spirit and Frontier and some of these guys, are their business models are failing on this, you know, pay the fare and everything else is a la carte. So other airlines are starting to make changes also to take away those fares or just to make them a little bit more expensive. So Air Canada, with more flights, a total of 55 U.S. cities are going to see air from Canada next summer. And finally, one last story. Yes, sir?
Yes, the Air Canada, do they, what is their baggage fees for regular size steamer trunks, as you like to put it?
Let's see here. It told me in this story, I want to say they went from it's $35 for the first bag and $50 for the second.
Okay.
So somewhat similar to U.S. Airlines. Okay, one other quick story here. Pilots around Dallas-Fort Worth reported, this came from a variety of pilots last week, about objects in the sky jogging back and forth and zapping away and reappearing and stuff like this. Not the first time something like this could happen. What could explain these strange objects? Well, some people say that Starlink satellites sometimes will give off different lighting and have different patterns than regular aircraft. I read three stories about this, and the bottom line is nobody really knows. And that's your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark and Tom. Don't forget, check us out at TravelGuysRadio.com. By the way, next week we're going to do the Travel Guys Mailbag. I'm just going to plant that seed right now so you can think about maybe going to TravelGuysRadio.com if you have a question you'd like to leave for the Travel Guys. All right, Europe has their way of doing business in the airlines if your flight is delayed or canceled for a long period of time. And, the airlines get stuck. And you benefit. In the U.S., not so much. We're going to talk about how that may change coming up next here on the Travel Guys. Merry Christmas from Rudy's Hideaway Lobster House, my friends. Rudy's Hideaway has all of your holiday needs covered. In-house banquets and off-site catering is available for all your party needs. Plus, this month, they're offering a great gift card special. You purchase a $100 gift card, and who wouldn't want one of those for Christmas? And you get a $20 gift card for yourself. How's that? Offer good through December 23rd. Giving is truly receiving at Rudy's Hideaway Lobster House. If you go, you just look around. You'll probably see me there. Rudy's Hideaway Lobster House, the place in Sacramento for hand-cut steaks, jumbo lobster tails, and I mean jumbo, and gifts for the whole family since 1970. Check them out, Highway 50 at Hazel. See you there. Okay, Mark, can it happen? Will it happen?
Well, I don't know.
If it happens, will it get overturned?
The big question here is, I mean, the folks at the Biden administration, Transportation Secretary Buttigieg and some other folks there, have really gotten their act together in the last 6-8 months and have really come out swinging in favor of consumers. My only question is, what did you do the first? Why did it take so darn long? I mean, the president said way back in the beginning, when he took office, that the junk fee thing was going to be one of the things that he was going to look at. But they piddled around forever, and now finally they're getting some good ideas out there. But of course, we're about to change teams in Washington D.C., and I don't know whether the next administration is going to think all these things were a good idea or not. So it just kind of seems like that it's a case of dragging your feet. And anyway, that was just my little sidebar thing there. All this stuff is good for consumers, and we would love to see it happen. In the European Union, they have a rule called EU 261. And what it basically means, without going into great detail, is that there are set rules for flight delays and cancellations. If an airline, if you're waiting for a flight, and let's say the threshold is 3 hours, and it's delayed more than 3 hours, now certain things happen. The airline has to pay you. They can't pay you in funny money. They have to pay you in cash or refund your credit card per se. They also have to be responsible for accommodations and transportation to those accommodations and back to the airport. And they're also obligated to put you on the next scheduled flight with availability. That doesn't matter whether it's their airplane or not. So this would change the rules pretty dramatically. Now, this only applies when it's the airline's fault. If weather or something completely unforeseen happens, an airport is closed because there's too many planes coming in, they have to slow down the traffic, and so you miss your connection or something happens to your airplane, then you're not covered. But in situations where the airlines are just incompetent, which is about half of the delays, then they have to pay you. They have to compensate you if the flight is either delayed or canceled. So this is something that holds their feet to the fire in a real way. They don't like it at all, but it is the law in Europe. So when this was proposed by the Department of Transportation about a week ago, they were like, the airlines immediately, Airlines for America, remember that's their lobbying group. Mm-hmm. Anytime you see that, Airlines for America, they're not there for you, they're there for the airlines. They're like, well, we don't need this. We can take care of this ourselves. Sure, we can decide when you should get something and when you shouldn't, and whether it's cash or funny money or just here's a package of Twizzlers. So this would really be a game changer. And if they can make it happen, there's a 60-day comment period right now, and then they will move forward. And they want to know, what people think about the possibility of this rule. Of course, the airlines are certainly going to weigh in. But it's an opportunity, I think, a huge opportunity for a consumer rule that really establishes, look, when you cross this line, this is what you have to pay up. It's not open for discussion. It's not open for negotiation. This is what happens.
And if the customer wants to take something else from you, that's fine. But this is by law what you owe.
Well, I'll tell you, it seems too good to be true, which means yes. it probably won't happen. We need to talk to our friends in Washington and see if they have any comments or any insight as to what's going to need to be done, what consumers individually can do to help move this along.
Well, there is a comment period, so you can go to the Department of Transportation's website and you can comment on this. You can say what you think should or should not happen. I did that myself last week. Took me about 5 minutes and felt kind of good afterwards. I felt like, you know, maybe my voice might be heard. Maybe it'll just be another tick on the side of pro or con, but, you know, you never know. You never know. But what it would do is it would give you at least $200 in cash compensation if your flight was delayed at least 3 hours but less than six. And then there's a rule for more than six and a rule for more than nine and a rule if your flight is canceled. And as we said, it kind of changes. Instead of saying, well, we have a flight tomorrow at 3 o'clock, or in the case of Spirit, we have a flight in 3 days to that destination, they would have to say, you know what, Delta flies there in an hour and a half. And you'll have a ticket. Here's your money, and you'll have a ticket on that Delta flight. So what it does is, if by holding the airline's feet to the fire, they are responsible, and it's going to cost them money. So they're going to pay a lot more attention to those situations and those deadlines. And it's going to make a difference whether or not a plane is able to roll in 2 hours and 45 minutes or 3 hours and a half, because it's going to matter a lot to the airline. It's going to hit their wallet a little bit. So that's what's going to matter. So keep an eye on it. It's EU 261 is the rule that we're trying to copy.
Well, all right. Well, I'm guardedly optimistic, I would have to say.
No, you had it right. It sounds too good to be true, therefore it probably won't happen. But you just never know. You never know. A lot of these lawmakers and stuff fly, so you never know.
We're promising you a very exciting interview with a woman and her husband who take five kids on vacation. We're going to be visiting with Jessica G. She is all the way from Hawaii at her home, but the book through National Geographic is it's called The Bucket List Family Travel. If you can imagine traveling the world with your kids, visiting 50 adventures of a lifetime. Welcome to the Travel Guys, Jessica.
Oh, what an honor to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for a little bit of your time. Are you at home now?
We are at home, yeah. It's a rare opportunity, but we're here for the holidays.
So you did the book and you finished it. Before we talk about the book, are you still hauling the three Rugrats around the planet?
We are. So home base is Hawaii now, but we do travel on school holidays. So fall break, spring break, summer break, we're usually gone, traveling anytime we can. But it's a minimum five-hour flight anywhere we go from Hawaii, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's a trek.
That's the price of living in paradise, my friend. Are you on Maui?
We are, yeah.
We have not come to Maui we weren't there a couple of years before the fire, and of course not since the fire. And just yesterday, I just signed a contract for the Royal Lahaina on Maui. I'm going to bring some of my travelers back there for the... We needed the island to come a little bit back to life before we could come back and support you folks over there. So anyways, back to
sure.
The book. The Bucket List Family Travel. Share the world with your kids on 50 adventures of a lifetime. Tell me, where did this idea come from?
Well, back in 2015, my husband and I were in our late 20s. We were in kind of an interesting situation. We had just finished school, and husband had a company he had started in college, and he had sold the company to Snapchat, and we were at a point in our lives where we didn't know what was next. Do we build a house? Do we buy a car? You know, like, we just didn't know where we wanted to settle down and raise our family, so we thought we could learn a little bit from the world. And my suggestion was a little bit of traveling. And those were the famous last words. My husband is the king of extreme, and I say I'm the queen of moderation. So we had decided to take a couple months to go travel, and my husband suggested that we sell a bunch of stuff. You know, when we come home, it was a clean slate. So what started as 4 months of travel turned into 3 years of full-time travel, actually, and now here we are about 9 years later and almost to 100 countries with our, at the time it was two kids, but now we have three kids in tow.
Wow. Okay, so give our listeners some idea of what age the two kids were when you started.
Yeah, they were quite young. We had a 1 and 3 year old, basically. So quite little toddlers, hardly, you know, one had just kind of potty trained and the other was just starting to walk.
So now you've got, what, a 12 and a 10 and...
Exactly. 12, 10, and 7 now. And they're, yeah, like I said, I think my older two have been to just about 100 countries, somewhere between like 95 and 100.
Good Lord. What an incredible opportunity. Jessica, your book has so... I sat down and I was like, well, I'm going to try to read some of this. And I got about 30 pages into the almost 400 page encyclopedia that you've written here. We pride ourselves on telling people, on giving people tips about how to be a smarter traveler. There are so many good tips in here. If you have children and you are doing like Jessica, even if, whether you're taking 50 adventures or just one, this is something that would be of value to you, I have no doubt. Can you share with our listeners a couple of things that you picked up along the way that, boy, if somebody asked me what my top two or three are, here they are?
Yeah, I think one of my favorite tips just to make travel more meaningful is to have a goal in mind, right? So, and some people just, when they travel, they want R&R. That's all they want. And that's fine. But, you know, we really try to have, we have our values, which are adventure, culture, and service. And everywhere we go, we try to achieve those. Or one or more of them at a time. When our kids were young, we would try to take what they liked and what they enjoyed and do that. So, for example, my daughter was really into gymnastics. The movie Greatest Showman had just come out, and we found a property, it was a Club Med property in Punta Cana, that has a Cirque du Soleil school at this all-inclusive resort. So we spent the week learning how to actually be trapeze artists, and it was one of the funnest weeks I remember. So yes, it was a relaxing and fun vacation, but there was so much more intention behind it, right? Same thing with my little son at the time. He was super obsessed with cars. We went to Wolfsburg, Germany, where they make a bunch of the automobiles. And so I think taking, and this can go for any age, right? But like whatever you're interested in, whether it's cooking or hobbies or sports and learning something new, can really make travel that much more special and meaningful.
Our special guest here with the Travel Guys, Jessica G., the National Geographic book list, Family Travel, Share the World with Your Kids, which is sounds like I'm just exhausted just thinking about it. Jessica, most of the time when people go on vacation with kids, a lot of times it's focused on what it is that the kids are going to do. And yeah. Generally speaking, growing up when I had kids and now I got grandkids, generally speaking, I'm looking forward to coming home so I can rest up from vacation. How do you blend rest and relaxation when you're traveling with kids?
Well, when we've been full-time travelers for years. So for us, it turned into more of a lifestyle. So we were sticking to a routine more than you probably do on vacation. You know, you don't eat the same. You're going to bed at crazy times. So we really stuck with as much routine. I think that's just important with kids in general to, you know, not overdo it. You know, when you're on vacation, sometimes you're like, we're going to go here, we're going to go here, and then the museum, and then the park, and then like all the restaurants, you have everything lined up to a T. But with kids, you just can't do that. And you just have to go at their pace. And everybody will be so much happier for that.
Jessica, you've been in obviously in airports and on airplanes, and I flew just last week, and a couple rows behind me was a child who decided that, you know, he was going to be somewhat vocal during the most of the entire 3-hour trip, and I was grateful I was two rows away. But you're traveling. Yep. You started, you said, with a 1 and a 3-year-old. You've added one along the way, so you've been the parent in the airport or on the airplane.
Yes.
When a child decided that, you know, this is not what I want to do, and I'm going to let you know. Anything that you can share? Did you pick up any tips?
I think my biggest tip, especially with kids, is how much they feed off of your attitude. If you're stressed and anxious, even if they start, you know, if they're getting emotional or throwing a tantrum, you have to really do your best to stay composed and keep them calm. And that goes a long way.
Yeah, that's always been the mantra, but very, very difficult to do when a kid decides to to have a tantrum, lay down in the middle of the aisle and freak out, and you're not supposed to, you know, and everybody's looking at you and looking at the child. And
yeah, anybody who's been there or had those kids, they give everybody on that plane or those parents a lot more grace.
How about you?
You can tell who's had kids and who hasn't had kids.
And you have the same kids that you started with.
Well, I believe so. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I mean, sometimes numbers are important, and you know, sometimes it's good to dig deeper. Jessica, before we let you go, here, and I want to remind folks that at TravelGuysRadio.com there is a link where you can go and find this book. I call it a book, but it really is an encyclopedia. And like I said, if you travel with small children, you know, let's say kids under 10, and there's more than one of them. Not only for places to go and how to go there and just all kinds of wonderful tips. Jessica, is there some destination in the book that stands out really as the number one spot to take children to that you like, if you were going to tell somebody you're standing in front of a group and they say, what's your favorite spot? What's the one where the kids really enjoyed it? What would you tell them?
Oh, there's so many, and I have 50 of them in the book. But one that's coming to mind right now that I think is a great destination for families, especially ones who maybe haven't traveled internationally before and they want to get their feet wet in international travel, I suggest Belize. I think it's a great first step. They speak English, they take the U.S. dollar, they have the beach, and they have the jungle. Like, everything there to have a really smooth travel experience with young kids.
The jungle.
exotic and different, but you're naming some things there that, you know, might make international, particularly you're a seasoned international traveler, your husband is too, but a lot of the people listening who have small kids, when they take off for some place, this will be their first or second time. So if you've had some success, Belize sounds like it is a wonderful place for anybody of any age, really, to be introduced to international travel, so that is excellent. Jessica G has been our guest. Her book is Bucket List Family Travel. Go to TravelGuysRadio.com, and you can find a link to get it on Amazon if you'd like. Jessica, thank you so much. If you decide to do this again or something cool happens with the kids on the road, remember where your friends are. Look us up.
All right, will do. Thank you for your time.
You know, Mark, as we were listening to this interview again after we recorded it, one of the things, and I see this with our friend Chris Elliott, who's traveled with his kids for years, you know, mm-hmm. all over the country. When you're traveling and the travel with the children or whatever is really kind of a lifestyle, that's what you're doing. You're not really on vacation. When she travels with her kids, one of the things that I glean from this is she was saying, you know, you try to take a leisurely pace. You try to have a schedule that is as normal as possible, which really is kind of counterproductive to what most people do when they go on vacation. Of course, if people travel with sports leisure vacations and your group, you're pretty organized and you have a schedule and a tempo. But generally, most people, you know, it's just go, go, go.
I only have one thing to say. Three small children. Three? I can't even. I mean, I watch people try to handle one or two, but three. She had three kids, five and under. You know, one of them an infant. I mean, that's dedication. But some great stories and some great trip tips for people. So if you travel with little ones, hey, listen. After this break, when we come back, we're not only going to talk about updates from Check-In Chicken and the whole pineapple dating thing, but we have some great tips for you on gifts that you might want to get for your traveler at Christmas.
Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, every Saturday here at 11. And you can find us at TravelGuysRadio.com. Links to our podcasts are there. You can also find them at iHeartRadio, right there at on the iHeartRadio app.
Do you know that our podcast audience has recently surpassed our live audience? There are more people listening to us now whenever they want to, as opposed to listening to us at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning. And somebody said, how do you feel about that? I said, I don't really give a damn as long as they listen anytime you want to listen. The advantage of the podcast is you lose the newscasts and the commercials, and you just get about a 43-minute
radio show instead of a 60-minute show. But anyways, it, like I said, no matter how you listen. Hey, I have a quick note here. We have a lot of stuff to cover, so I need to not BS too long. But if you travel with Sports Leisure Vacations, for years and years, in fact, the way the company started was taking people to baseball games in San Francisco. That's where the sports in Sports Leisure Vacations came. The Giants recently announced that a longtime former player of theirs who retired this year, Brandon Crawford, is going to be honored with a special day early in the season. It's interesting. They picked a date when the Texas Rangers are in town. Bruce Bochy was Brandon Crawford's manager. If you're not a baseball fan, this will all go away in a few seconds. But anyway, the Giants are going to honor Crawford in San Francisco on April the 26th. And the reason I mention it is because if you're a Sports Leisure traveler, or even if you're not, we are going to take a bus to the game that day. So you will be able to go down and watch all of the ceremonies and honor Brandon Crawford, who is a native Californian, by the way, and played for San Francisco during their world championship teams about 10, 12, 14 years ago. Anyways, I just wanted to throw in that cheap, blatant plug there because we've had people call our office this week and ask if we were going. So if you want to honor Brandon Crawford,
you are going. There you go. And by the way, you know, in my opinion, Brandon Crawford, once he retires and they and all of that, Buster Posey will he'll end up on the San Francisco Giants staff doing something.
Yeah, that would be a fair. That would be my guess. That would be my guess. He's pretty intelligent. Seemed like a pretty good. You know, you can tell these guys when they do post game interviews and stuff. You know, who's really paying attention and who's just like, I'm just really glad that I'm here, you know, kind of thing. So anyhow, we promised you a couple of updates here and some gift things. We got to get our act together. A couple weeks ago, we talked about a thing called check-in chicken. And what we were talking about is that's people who buy an airline a ticket and don't pick a seat. And when they're notified that it's time to check in, you know, and they still don't pick a seat. And in some cases don't check in because the airline has to give you own a ticket, they have to give you a seat. So if you wait, oftentimes the seats that are left are what would be considered premium seats, either premium locations or seats with extra legroom. You're not going to get into first class. There's a different list for that. But you might snare a better seat. So some people said check-in chicken. You just don't check in. You wait for the airline to assign you a seat. I'm hoping for the best. A couple of downsides to that, people have pointed out online. At least one airline, they believe, has an algorithm that intentionally separates people. In other words, it comes time to put you on the plane, and they put Mrs. Jones in 22F and Mr. Jones in 37B. And they do that intentionally because they want to show you that if you'd have just bought seats, this would have never happened to you. So it's an incentive for you to buy seats next time. I won't name the airline Frontier, but that's just something that was put out there. So there has been pros and cons. My suggestion to you, if you're going to play the check-in chicken game, is you need to be traveling by yourself or with somebody that it's not important that you sit together. And the other thing is you have to be willing to sit in a middle seat because oftentimes those premier seats that are left, those extra legroom seats and stuff that are left that people didn't pay for, are seats that are in the middle. So you might get, you know, a little bit more legroom, but I don't know who you'll have on each side of you. That's why it's called check-in chicken. So anyways, a little bit of an update there. The pineapple thing. Yes, you were going to
okay,
comment.
Yeah, the pineapple, we talked about it last week, about the Carnival cruise lines were banning people from putting upside-down pictures, if you will, of pineapples on their stateroom doors, which apparently is an indication that that you are looking to be a swinger. And so they put a stop to that. So what's this pineapple dating thing all about?
The trend is growing.
Do we start a trend here?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure if we started it or not, but I'm wondering what the people in Hawaii are going to do where there are pineapples all over the place. A Spanish craze encouraging single people to seek partners in supermarkets by using a fruit-based code has caused some chaotic scenes, and it even led to police being called to restore order. In recent days, many single Spaniards have been drawn to branches of a supermarket chain between 7 and 8 p.m. by claims they can find romance at that time, particularly if they put a pineapple upside down in their shopping cart. so
And this not only have people shown up, but things have gotten a little bit rowdy inside in a couple of cases, and police were called to one of the supermarket's branches. So anyways, the whole upside-down pineapple thing is apparently, you know, it's, I predict something is going to happen within a matter of weeks. We're going to see people wearing hats and the like with upside-down pineapples and all over the place. But anyway, that's your... Upside down pineapple.
Down pineapple update. There you go.
Okay, here's another cool one. The people at the Jackson Hole Travel and Tourism Board is trying to keep tourists in Wyoming from getting gored and mauled by wildlife, particularly people who go to Yellowstone Park. You know, there's a bear, there's a bison, you know, there's an elk. Let's go up and get as close. Let's get a little closer. Let's get a little closer. And, you know, these are big animals.
Let's get an autograph.
When they turn on you, it's not pretty. Also, they can run, bison can run up to 35 miles an hour. So anyway, the Jackson Hole people have created an app that you can put on your phone that you can, before you're going to snap the picture, you open the app and the app will tell you if you're a safe distance from the animal.
That's insane.
Isn't that a cool kind of idea? Selfie control is what they call it. And it will tell you whether or not
You're too close, a
significant distance away from the animal before you take the picture. Of course, the bad news is if you weren't a significant distance away, the time you're spending trying to figure all that out, the animal turns and comes after you, why, you've lost a bit of your advantage there. But anyway, just folks, I mean, really and truly, you're in the animal's home, so just keep your distance, you know? I mean, because they're a lot bigger than you, and they're not nearly as tame as they look. All right. Holiday gift suggestions for travelers here. We've got a few minutes at the end of the program. So this comes from Ned Levy, a friend of the Travel Guys, who writes for Travelers United. There is this list that I'm about to read to you is posted at travelguysradio.com. So if you don't catch all of this in the next couple of minutes, suggestions for travelers. Ultra quiet comfort headphones. If you really love the person who is your traveler friend or spouse or whatever, these are regularly $429, but now you can get them for only $329.
There you go.
Remember, details for all of this and links, travelguysradio.com. Soundcore Sleep, the most comfortable and effective in-the-ear sleep buds that this writer has ever found for sleep in a noisy hotel environment. And in a room with a noisy sleeper, or might I say even on an airplane. $149, says $119 at Amazon on Cyber Monday. Oops. So when you go to this list, you might find that some of the sale prices have expired, but at least it'll tell you the product. You can look around on the internet. Maybe you can find it at a sale price. Here is AirFly Pro, a Bluetooth adapter that lets you use wireless headphones when your plane or other entertainment system's only connection is via a headphone jack. So if you fly a lot, this is a little electronic thing, about $50. Apple AirTag. This might be the best gift you could get a traveler. Some of you have heard the story that I've told about recovering an iPad because it had an Apple device on it that allowed me to know where it was when I left it on the airplane. They're $29 for a one pack, or you can get four of them for $99. This would be a great thing to give a traveler. Also, be a great gift to give yourself. But really, would help if your bag is in another place. It doesn't get where it's supposed to be. Hypothetically, you will know exactly where it is, and your chances of recovering it will go up dramatically. Apple AirTags. Here's a luggage scale for only $11. A classic messenger bag for about $100. It's a shoulder bag. Some people called them a merce for a while, a man's purse, but because guys were using them, but now they're calling them messenger bags, which I think is more in line with what they look like. A hydro flask water bottle with a flex straw cap. You can buy them together or separately. And finally, a reusable shopping bag for $14 with pockets on the inside, or an America Beautiful National Parks Pass. There are some options for gifts.
This is like going through a catalog.
TravelGuysRadio.com, a complete list if you're looking for something to get your traveler for Christmas.
All right, my friends, that's going to wrap for today. You stay well. We'll see you next time. Mark, final word.
Dance like nobody's watching. We'll see you next Saturday at 11 o'clock.
KFBK Sacramento. KFBK FM, Pollock Pines.
For local news, breaking news, traffic, and weather, KFBK, Sacramento's News Radio.